I see in me will be stripped away. Oh, by the power of your love. Oh, yes, Holy Ghost, let your love surround me. Oh, bring me near, draw me to your side. And Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see your face, oh, to face of your love, oh, my. Let's stand together. Sing that last verse again. Lord, unveil my eyes of your love. And Lord, unveil my eyes. Mind. And Lord, renew my mind as you will unfold. Oh, every day by the power. desire this morning for Him to come and have His way. And we don't have a written need here this morning, but how many would have a need you want to make known to the Lord by the uplifted hand? Amen. We believe that He's mindful of our situation this morning. He knows our heart's desire. I ask Brother Andrew if he'd come and open our service in prayer this morning. Amen. Let's just pray together as a church body of believers.
Heavenly Father, Lord, as that song sings, rain down upon us, Father. We ask, oh God, that you would come down mightily, Father. Lord, we're not here coming expecting a small thing, Father. We're not coming to expect just the crumbs, but Father, we expect a downpouring of your love and your spirit today. Lord, we come with hungry hearts, Father, asking, oh God, that you would meet the needs in the body, Father. You know the sick and afflicted, Father, throughout this building, Father. Lord, you see the needs, whether it be financial, Father, or spiritual, Lord, physical. You're the all-knowing God, and you're the all-supplying God. Father, we just ask that you would come down mightily, Father, once again. Lord, may you move each member out of the way, Father, not just the song leader, the musicians, and the minister, but help us, Father, to let down the bar, Father, of our own pride. Help us, O God, to step aside from our own. Lord, may we become humble, O God, under your Spirit. Lord, may you just anoint us, O God, to be receivers of the Word, O God, to apply it to our hearts, Lord. Bless Brother Tim as he has come forth, Lord. May he come forth not in just human ability, O God, but may he step aside that your Spirit could speak through into our hearts, we pray. Lord, we just commit ourselves to your hands, O God. Bless each part, Lord, the offering, the tithes. Lord, for each thing that is given, O God, we ask your blessings upon it and multiply it for your service, O God. Be with each one now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I want you to turn around and shake with his hand this morning. Welcome each other here to the house of the Lord. Amen. We ask the brothers they would to take up the offering. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Yes, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Once I was lost, now I'm found. Now my soul is heaven bound. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Down for a minute. We had a few pictures we want to show of kind of where we're at. We didn't have work day yesterday because of the way it's been. The lights are down. Amen. The way it's been, you know, with the weather and everything, and just wanted to give everybody a chance to maybe get some things done at home or whatever. So, but you know, sometimes in this big a project, we kind of get overwhelmed, and you seem like nothing's happening and nothing's going on, and seem like we're sometimes you kind of get to a point where you feel like we've been working for several weeks and nothing's changed. But I tell you, it's amazing really what we have accomplished and what has been done thus far. This picture here is actually around February of last year when Brother Wayne came down to start grading off the property. For this is he started there where the when you first make your entrance off of Ashley Road, and the land there was quite unlevel, so he started pushing the topsoil off and then grading it out for us to have a good parking lot area. We go to the next picture. So this is just since February, and then we also built the road in there all the way into where the building is located, next picture. And then this is actually the steel as he's grading off the parking lot area a little bit. Yeah, he worked about a week, I think it was, that week in some severely cold weather on that dozer all week long, and we really appreciated him for what he'd done for us. Not only did he do that, he came back, I think maybe the next picture we look at, well, we jumped to this actually pouring, but he actually come back and helped us get that pad built. That was another week, and the building of the pad was in August, so we've actually been within a couple of months of being a year actually starting to work on the project as far as the building the pad. Now, this pouring of concrete was in, I believe, October of last year. We poured concrete. Next picture. And they started erecting the building the 1st of November. That's where we was in November. And then next picture. Well, we jumped way ahead. I don't know. Maybe the next one. But anyway, this is, I don't know what happened to the other pictures, but we had a little bit more of a building actually going up. And then November, the building started coming up, and then this framing and things that you see here started happening in January and February of this year. And keep going, maybe, I don't know if there's any more. And of course, the electrical that's going in, that electrical is quite amazing. There's a lot of stuff that's happening there that seems like maybe nothing's going on, but it's kind of like your body and all the miles of veins that you have in your body. You don't think about them, but they're very important. This is the veins of the building that carries out the electrical, and it'll be the sound that'll be going through some of these, and maybe not these exact pipes here, but the sound system and the fire alarm systems, the alarm systems, everything that we'll be doing is we have to put in now, of course. So next picture. And so we're moving on now to the stucco, where we got a lot of the stucco happening right now. And so this has only been since actually the pouring of the concrete last October. So October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, and almost into July. So almost about 8 months that we've got this far. So already, so this is you're talking about an 18,000 square foot building. So it don't happen in one day, but it's nice to be reminded that we have come a long ways. And, you know, Brother Jeremy Schreiner actually kind of got me in this thought because, you know, you get to this moment and you don't see a whole lot happen. And you see the, you know, you're at the moment of the pad, it comes up pretty quick, and then the concrete's pretty quick, and the erecting of the building's pretty quick, but you start getting into the finer things, and it seemingly takes longer, and it seemingly nothing happening. But when you look at the overall picture, we've come a long ways, and we're really excited about what we've been able to accomplish thus far, and we're looking forward to finishing this project. Amen. And so we want to keep kind of get our focus again, and we are now finishing up a lot of the electrical as far as the conduit phase. Of course, wire pulling will begin. We had Brother Daniel Cross that was with us last weekend, and he's going to be helping us get started with the ACs. And so we'll get that moving forward. And then soon as we can get it to where we can get sheetrock going in again, then you'll start seeing again a quicker movement of things. And
and it'll really kick forward and kick into gear again. So anyway, just wanted to show you that because for the last several months we've seen that building sitting there, and it seems like maybe nothing's really changing on it, but there's been a lot that's been happening. And we're really thankful to the Lord for that. Amen. So we just want to continue on and put our will and our dedication towards this, because I know it's for a purpose and for a season, a time. You know, of course, we believe with all of our heart that our Lord is returning to earth again to come back to catch his bride away. We believe that with all of our heart. Amen. But we're going to do whatever we can to get that last soul and that last seed. Amen. And so I'd rather be caught doing something for him than to be sitting doing nothing. And that's where we're at in this life's journey that we're in our moment of time that we're in right now. And we want to put everything that we got into it. So God bless you. Amen. Let's just sing that song again. I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Amen. Ask Brother Philip if he'd come and bring us a special this morning. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Oh, once I was dead, now I'm alive. Now I'm called to be your bride. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Oh, once I was dead, now I'm alive. Now I'm called to be your bride. Thank you, Lord.
Try to sing this song this morning. We ain't practiced it, but we'll try it anyway. Anybody been in a battle this week other than me? I know it's been a battle. But God gives us the cross, gives us something that we can hold on to. Let's help me sing it if you know it. And there comes a storm. There comes a storm in every life when we all need a lifeboat. God has provided a way for us to never be lost without hope. And he sent his son to be the one to hang on an old rugged tree. But not just a cross, but it was a lifeboat, a vessel of safety for me. So hang on to the cross. Let it be your lifeboat when this ship is going down. This cross, it will keep you afloat. And don't ever let go. And you'll never be lost in your time of storm. Just hang on to the cross. Oh, and you might be weak and weary and worn. It's been a long, hard journey. But be not discouraged, 'cause you're not alone. He said, I will never leave you. But down through the years and all kinds of weather, the hope of the cross is still here. So hang on to the cross and let it be your lifeboat when your ship is going down. This cross, it will keep you afloat, and don't ever let go. And you'll never be lost in your time of storm. Just hang on to the cross. Sing this part with me. And so I'll cherish the old rugged cross, oh, till my trophies at last I'll lay down. Oh, and I will cling to the old.
I know the maker of Tomorrow, I
stand together as the word comes forth. Amen. Let the worshipers arise. If you're free this morning, you can worship Him. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Oh, I'm surrendering. Can you lift your hands and sing it? Oh, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sun, those who traded their shackles. Hallelujah. Not surrendering my all. Oh, I surrender to the King. And Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. Let your kingdom come. Oh, let it live. Oh, yes.
Worshippers arise. Let sons and daughters sing. What are we singing about? It ain't the song of slavery and slavery to sin and bondage to the world. It's a song of victory. It's a song of deliverance. It's a song in Revelation 5 where they all begin to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Amen. Who was slain and is opened a book and loosed the seven seals and, amen, brought us into an inheritance. That's what the sons and daughters are singing about this morning. Amen. It's a song to our King. Amen. Praise God. Let's talk to the Lord a moment this morning as we just go before the throne of grace. Father, as your children today, we bow before you. Lord, we've already heard the songs of victory, of an old rugged cross, of a ransom that was paid. Lord, we've heard the songs saying, I'm free. I'm free from all the fears of tomorrow. I'm free from the sins of the past. I've traded shackles for a glorious crown. We sing in the songs that are redeemed. Lord, of a day that you've ordained before the ages began. And right here at the end of the ages, a bride from every nation has begun to sing. They're singing songs of the Lamb, of the Redeemer, of the book open, the book that was closed, that was held away from man, now taken by man, and the seals now taken off and revealed. Oh, glorious mystery, Lord, that you, the sacrifice of Calvary, would come and advance in your work in this day and hour, begin to claim a bride out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. I pray, oh God, today we, everyone, will recognize our hour, our time of visitation. Move into that channel of the Holy Spirit, where you work a work of grace in lives. We pray in the name of Jesus for your glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I would like you to turn back to the book of Jonah this morning. We'll read from chapter 1, verse 17. I want to read this again, and just the Lord will speak to hearts and lives. We welcome each one of you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed about me. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Then I would like to look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19 for another scripture reading. This is to the Laodicean age. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Amen. May God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to be speaking again on forsaking your own mercy. And we're going to take this a little further, maybe a little different direction this morning as the Holy Spirit would lead. As you notice, we not only read from the book of Jonah, but we read from the Laodicean church age, an age that has forsaken its own mercy. They're Christ on the outside of his own church. You know, to the casual observer, you just look and you just see, well, you know, there is Jesus knocking at the door. But if you'll notice, it's to the church of Laodicea. And so he is outside of the church knocking. He's not inside of the church knocking. He's not inside. And here he is actually calling for someone to open the door to, and he will come in and sup with them. Now, if you'll notice, we're here at a time where it's of course the end time, and there's many things that are happening in our day and hour. Things that are happening even in the world of movies and things like that that is transpiring even now, like showing the great California earthquake. I know you've probably not seen movies of it. I hope you've not, but anyway, might have seen trailers of it that has come out of the of what they are. Expecting to happen here in the end time, because even they know it. You know, when Brother Branham spoke of things like in reproach for the cause of the word, and he says, look what the movie world has done. On the screen comes the story of the Ten Commandments by Cecil DeMille, and on the screen comes the life of Jesus Christ through Ben-Hur, and on the screen comes the big fisherman, the conversion of Peter, and all these religious plays which the movies has refused and dirtied and torn away, but God in his mighty power blasted forth just the same. So, you know, in a generation where there was every kind of evil that was coming out of Hollywood, all of these things, God in his mighty power was blasting forth. Things there showing the pillar of fire and Exodus, a people taken into the promised land, all of these other things. Now we've got the the new movie that's coming out on the San Andreas earthquake, and we know that God is putting prophecy right back in the faces of the world one more time. Amen. It's, you know, they didn't hear it when a prophet spoke. But, you know, now there's coming warnings after warnings after warnings that there is something that is happening and even looming right in front of them. It was kind of remarkable, and Brother Matt Watkins shared this with me, but he did a little research there. He noticed that the theme song of that trailer on that movie. He didn't watch the movie, but on the reviews that he read, that the theme song was a song called California Dreaming. And, you know, in the lyrics there, it was, all the leaves are brown, the sky is gray, I've been for a walk on a winter's day. I'd be safe and warm if I was in L.A., California dreaming on a winter's day. And it says, stepped into church, I passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees and I pretend to pray. And you know, the preacher, like the cold, he knows I'm going to stay California dreaming on a winter's day. All the leaves are brown, the sky is gray. I've been for a walk on a winter's day. If I didn't tell her, I could leave today. California dreaming on a winter's day. So, you know, it's a song that actually made his debut and released in December 1965. And it was, there right after Brother Branham preached his last text sermon, his last public sermon, which was leadership. And just 24 hours after the prophet preached his message, here again, they have, you know, self and, you know, safe and warm if I was in L.A. and same year, Brother Branham leaves. America's singing. You know, it is. It shows again that we are in the days of Noah. Is a generation that is so deaf that judgment is screaming in their faces, and yet they continue right on in their sin. And so, you know, here a prophet was saying, you know, and speaking a judgment upon a place, and it still looms over them to today. And you say, well, why has it, you know, tarried? Why has that waited? I'll tell you why. It's been the long suffering of God. Amen. It's been God allowing things to just play along for a while. Amen. Until every name that's in the book is going to be is going to find their name there in the book and recognize their place in the Word. And so it's been mercy that has been extended. Noah preached 120 years, and the Bible called it the long suffering of God in the days of Noah. And where God waited there, tarried for the souls of men while an ark was being prepared. And so, you know, we've had some time, but, you know, it's just like Noah's message was a message of mercy. Let me tell you, our message has been a message of mercy. Amen. But we are living in a generation that has spurned mercy. And, you know, here again, we're just seeing things that are happening right one thing after another as we move toward the end time. I've just seen, again, we're brought to my attention again this week that they are saying within the next 2-3 years, 5 years at the most, they will have predominantly the car available there with that will be totally redesigned. In fact, Mercedes-Benz, a lot of you have already seen this. They have already redesigned the car with all of the chairs facing each other's, and they can have board meetings and everything in it as they go down the road. And it's very remarkable. And yet they say we're only from 3 to 5 years from that. We're living in a time where insanity. You cannot open up the news without a display, morbid, graphic displays of insanity. You know, I was just so grieved for the people in South Carolina the other day in that church where a murderer goes in. What else can you call it? Insanity. You know, without rhyme or reason, without justification, without anything. You couldn't blame it on anything, but just we got an insane world. And it's not just that instance, but, you know, if that one was the isolated only case, well, you know, we'd probably live in a pretty sane, safe world. But that isn't it. I mean, it's one thing after another. We're rocked, we're shocked, we're surprised over and over again at the display of brutality, of insanity. That, you know, it goes way beyond what you can even think. You know, again, we're looking at a world that is coming to its end. Again, science is just released a report that 75% of the species that we know today in the world as far as animal life will be lost in just 2 generations. And they've already went through hundreds of species that have went extinct just in this last little bit. And they said, you know, many years ago or thousands of years ago, it was some ice age or some catastrophic thing. But now it is man that is threatening the whole global economy of even nature. So nature is screaming out and groaning like never before. It's one of the darkest hours that the world has ever seen. That we are living in right now. It's prophesied to be that way. And, you know, it's a time where that judgment looms from every every corner, from every way that you look, whether, like I said, whether it's a darkness coming in from insanity, whether it's the attack upon the world and its and its ecology, or whether it's whatever it is, we're right here on the very border of something very distinct and great to happen. It's a hour and a time where that mercy has been extended, where a message has come to prepare a people to leave from here. This rapture in faith, it lays within the message that we have received. That's what it was, to turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. And so, you know, again, it's a time where mercy has been extended, but it's also a time where that mercy is being forsaken. And, you know, Brother Branham would talk about this. He says, in his prayer, and then Jesus came, I said, "Our Heavenly Father, this message we now give to you in Christ's name. It's the darkest hour the world's seen. It's the darkest time that human history has ever written. There's missiles in the air, flying saucers, they call them. You said there'd be signs in the heavens and the earth, great earthquakes, shaking in diverse places, volcanic eruption, great waves in the sea. You said the sea was roaring, men's heart failing. Truly, the world don't know what to do. The first atomic bomb tells it, perplexed of time, distress between nations. And you said, when these things come to pass, then lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing nigh." Amen. What an hour then that we're living in, a time of redemption. Amen. A time where that the redeemed of every nation is stepping forward, worshiping the great King. Amen. Again, putting away the lying vanities and laying hold on truth. You know, again, he would say, "I think yonder those Jews," this continuation of that quote, "I think yonder those Jews, I see the old 6-point Star of David, the oldest flag in the world hanging yonder. Why can't the nations see it? And to think that our own beloved nation is going to hook up with the Arabs, look like they'll be cursed just as sure. They spurn the mercies of God. And now they must stand judgment. See that old flag hanging yonder? See that desert coming forth like a rose blossoming? See those Jews coming back from way down in Iran and been there for 2,500 years. And the Bible said they'd be carried back to Jerusalem on eagle's wings. And you see United Airlines bringing them back on the wings of an eagle as it was. And them getting off the ships and looking and saying, where is the Messiah? And then he said, when you see the fig tree puts forth her buds, you know that summer is nigh. And we see she's budding. And we see the other trees are budding. It's restoration time. Amen. I believe that we know it's near, right? He said, we see Ishmael and Isaac yonder at the gate at each other's throat, just like you said. And every prophecy right now striking. God be merciful and save the lost. There be one here, Lord, who needs to speak to his or her heart just now. For it's the darkest hour, though we may not realize it. There may be some who does not realize this is the darkest hour, but it is. And Satan may have them so smugged up in the things of the world until they don't realize it. But you know, you said in the Bible, you're wretched and naked and miserable, blind, and don't know it. You know, again, here it is all pointing to the end time. But yet in that same time that we know the Son of Man is revealing himself to his church in mercy. Amen. Now, the next time he comes, he will reveal himself in judgment to condemn those who spurned mercy. So right now is the time. And so he's here revealing himself, yet in mercy, saving your soul. In mercy, giving his life. In mercy, giving you joy instead of sadness. Faith instead of fear. Amen. Healing instead of sickness. Revealing himself to you in his mercy the same way that he did back there. And so he said, if he's doing that now, how far is the rapture and away in judgment? And, you know, see, the handwriting is on the wall, showed in every way. So it's a time that we know then if you spurn mercy, though, there is nothing left but judgment. If you run the red light and don't, you know, and then get hit, well, you can't blame the city. You should have stopped. Amen. If you wind up in hell someday, you don't blame God for it. Amen. He's waved everything right in front of you that he can wave. He showed with signs and wonders. He sent a prophet. He sent messages. Amen. He sent ordained ministry. He raised up churches. Amen. He's given signs in this last day. Amen. Even the blood of his own son. Amen. And yet it's constantly waved by you. And you know, the songs of the church, the preaching of the gospel, the reading of the word, the signs and wonders before you. And yet there are some that are still determined to go whether God puts up a stop sign or not. Amen. God sends nobody to hell. You send yourself to hell by rejecting the atonement in his son. What has been provided? Amen. What an hour that we're living in. The hour has come. We've seen it. We know the pillar of fire has appeared again in this generation. It's here today. Amen. We have pictures of it. Washington, D.C. under copyright. Amen. Brother Branham said, if I die, he said, if I never see you all again, my testimony is the truth. Scientists know it. The church knows it. It's been around the world. She's ready for judgment. Amen. There's only one way that judgment can come, and that's when mercy is spurned. And when you spurn mercy, there's nothing left but judgment. And you're looking at a prophecy in the scripture. It showed where Laodicea would be. It would be an age that would reject Christ the Word. Amen. And in doing so, he would spurn the mercy that has been given. We've had great men, great revivals that's went across the country. There's been men like Billy Graham, Jack Schuller with the Methodists, Oral Roberts with the Pentecostals. There's been signs and wonders that's been done all over the nation and around the world. There's been preachers. There's been gifts of healing. There's been prophetic things, you know, but yet they keep right on going, hell-bent right on their own way. Amen. Determined there to gamble and laugh and make fun, commit adultery, live in sin. Amen. You know, and there's only one thing left, a hydrogen bomb to wipe this whole thing off. Amen. Because mercy has been spurned. And when mercy has been spurned, there is judgment that follows. That's why the judgment is upon the nation. She spurned God for her last. There's no more hope. Amen. There may be a few stragglers come in to receive the Holy Spirit, but the time of America's judgment is close at hand. Brother Branham said, mark that on your book and see if it doesn't come to pass. It's already been seen in the vision. We have right now, you know, Russia raising up again as a superpower in the earth, making threats around the globe, invading other countries, things that are happening. You have ISIS that is raising up. You have all these other wars and rumors of wars and things that are happening. It's all because that mercy has been spurned. Amen. And when you forsake your own mercy, amen, there's nothing left. There's no hope because God extends a mercy. Now, so in all of this, you know, there has been things that is happening. Brother Branham told us in the sixth seal, for example, and I just want to go into this. He says, he speaks about this in under the sixth seal. He said, so this one now is so soaked up with filth. I preached not long ago here at the tabernacle, the world falling apart. Look what's falling apart in the world. Everything's a falling of it. It's got to fall apart. Look, its frame. Let me show you the reason the world's got to do it. The frame of this world. The iron, the brass, the materials of the earth has been pulled out of its framework for war and industry until it's about ready. Well, we never had an earthquake till the other day over here in this part of the country. Till just the other day, St. Louis and on down through here, she's getting so thin, they pulled everything out. In the news lately, San Joaquin Valley in California has sunk over 40 feet since 1925 and continues to sink a foot per year. as they draw out the resources of water and so on in the earth. You see, it's time for the sixth seal. We are laying on the border of the tribulation seal to open up. We're already seeing tribulation plagues happening. We're seeing insanity coming into the world that we're living in, into your neighborhood, into everywhere that you look. It is there. Now, again, we notice, as he said, the last verse of the sixth seal open. Remember, they cried for the rocks and the mountains that come and fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. When them prophets that stood there performed miracles and closed the sun, everything, all down to the age, they cried to the rocks and the mountains to hide them. Hide them from the word that they laughed at because they've seen him coming. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They laughed at the word, and here was the word incarnate. And they had made fun of it and laughed at it, made fun of them. And the incarnate word had dropped forth. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. For them, they knew the punishment. They hear it. They sat in meetings like this. And they knew about it. And they knew that in those things that those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face. We're talking about those that are in the tribulation. They can't repent. Hide us in the rocks and the mountains. Amen. Because the thing that was preached about, the things that they were warned about, face to face, the thing that they had rejected, they have spurned mercy for the last time. Amen. And when you spurn mercy, there's nothing left but judgment. Amen. So there, they had no place to go. They have no retreat. The Bible said they cried to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us. Hide us from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. They tried to repent, but the Lamb had came to claim his own. And they cried to the rocks and the mountain, prayed, but their prayer was too late. My brother, sister, the goodness and mercies of God extended to the people. While Israel was blinded for this about 2,000 years to repent, have you turned that mercy down? Think about that. For 2,000 years, God has given mercy to the Gentiles. He has been calling out a people for his name's sake. We're right down to the end of the Gentile dispensation. This is where we have come. Amen. And to think, you know, here when that mercy has been given, God would even turn away from his own people for a while to call out a people from the heathen. Amen. And then that mercy be extended. And then you reject that mercy. What an awful thing that would be in the face of God. Amen. Brother Branham said, who are you anyhow? I want you to think of that this morning. Who are you anyhow? Amen. Where did you come from? And where are you going? Amen. You could not ask the doctor. You could not ask anybody in the world. And there's no book you could read that could tell you who you are, where you come from, and what you're going, and where you're going, but this book. Amen. Amen. And he says, and you have the blood of the Lamb to act in your place. You see where you're headed for. So if God did that, the least headed for. So if God did that, the least free moral agent, you can go the tree of life. Or you can take the plan of the judgment. But today, while you're sensible and in your right mind, and you're healthy enough to rise and accept it, why don't you do that if you haven't done it? And so he says, you know, again, pray for me, Brother Branham. I want to do it. I don't want this to come. You know, I don't want to come under the wrath of God. So we're living in the day when the wrath of the Lamb is about to be released upon the earth. The sixth seal judgment, where all nature goes into convulsion. All these judgments and plagues come upon the earth. It looms right in front of us. Amen. But right now, there's mercy. Right now, there is still a high priest. Right now, there's still a lamb. Right now, there is a lamb claiming. Amen. Claiming a people in this day. Right now, there is mercy being poured out. Right now, in the face of the judgment and the wrath of God that is about to come, right now there is still mercy. I say, friends, we ought to avail ourselves of that mercy. Amen. The Bible said, if you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy. I'm telling you, church, this ought to be where that we stand so secure today. Amen. Producing the right kind of atmosphere in the church, in a body of believer, an atmosphere of mercy, atmosphere of grace. Amen. An atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can come down and change a life. Amen. Let me tell you, the further we go along, I'm going to get into it this morning, but the further we go along, the more rare this is going to be. And the more we're going to have to fight to have the right kind of atmosphere. Amen. To be in the right condition where heaven can come down among us. And the mercies of God can come from the interceding Lamb. Amen. Bringing His blood right down into our midst. You say His blood. Yes, that's His spirit. The life that was in the blood. Now, because of the spurning of mercy, there's been an indictment brought against the world. Brother Branham would take and he would preach a sermon of the indictment. I indict this generation for crucifying Jesus Christ afresh. And he couldn't crucify him as a person and hang him on the cross. But they would crucify the effects of the word. Listen to him now. The indictment. He said, I must show and will show that the same spirit is on the people today that brought the first crucifixion. Stop and think now. The very same spirit is upon the people today that brought the first crucifixion. Amen. Doing the same thing. I must do that. It's going to be a crucifixion that they crucified. I must show the people. To the people, that's the same attitude in the people today is doing the same thing spiritually that they did physically then. And you can see it in Laodicean age, him on the outside of the church, pushed out of his own church. I just say this, we don't want him pushed out of this church. We want a place that he's welcome. That we're inviting him, we're imploring him to come, that he's there. He's there in our music. He's there in our songs. He's there in the preaching of the word. He's there in the atmosphere of the people. Amen. He's there to provide mercy. So they crucified physically Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now today, by the same word, by the same Holy Spirit and the same word, I wish to show the church is there where they stand, and they're doing the same thing the Bible said they would do it, and prove that this is the last day we're living in. This is why he would indict them. Jesus, this is a messenger to the Laodicean age now. Jesus is on the outside. Jesus, rejected by his own church. Jesus, the Word, condemned to die. To be crucified. And the same attitude. I tell you, are you surprised to see the scorning and the scoffing? Are you surprised to see the crucifixion? Amen. Are you surprised to see all the things that are being brought against the message of the hour? It's been told us the Spirit is upon the people. The Spirit is upon the people to crucify the Word. To crucify the anointing. Amen. To keep it from the people. Now he says, I tell you, he said, this couldn't be done a few years ago. 50 years ago it couldn't be done. But today this is timely. Because we're at the end time. And I believe as his servants, we're just about to cross from this land to another. Therefore the time for repentance for a nation is gone. I believe this nation cannot repent. I believe it's crossed the line between judgment and mercy. And I believe she's toddling in the balance. And we can look and we can see even Christianity as we know it today is under attack in America. We can see that laws, Sodom laws, are being placed in the position. Amen. To absolutely destroy the every vestige of Christianity. They don't want it. Amen. Look at the attitude of some of those that even have been around us for a while. And they don't want this word to rule over them. Amen. They'll not have it to rule over their lives. No, sir. Crucify him. We will not have him as a king. He will not be our ruler. Oh my, that's the spirit that dominates the age that we're living in. Amen. That's the spirit that's upon the liberated woman. That is the spirit upon the gay community and all the transgender bunch and the whole Sodom group. Amen. We will not have the word of God to rule over them. Amen. We're having it legislated right on down from our Supreme Court, right on down. We'll not have the word to rule over us. Amen. They don't want the commandments in the courtrooms. They don't want the Bible in the schools. They don't want the Bible in the land. They don't want God in the land. To reject the mercy is to be brought to judgment. And Brother Branham would say, spiritually, they're doing the same thing today. For they're doing it too, for the same purpose. The same way that they did in the crucifixion of the Lord physically. They're doing it because of jealousy, because of spiritual blindness that they don't want to see. They won't listen to it. Look at the world that we're living in. Look at the nation that we're in. As she moves there, as I've spoke. But you see, they yet at the same time, you know, they're bringing that crucifixion anew, afresh, for the same reasons they did then. They can't find nothing against it. Amen. They daresn't try to challenge it. And they know the evidence is there. And they know the Bible said so. And the only thing they can do is blaspheme it. Amen. Now that's the age that we're living in. It's an age that's spurning mercy. In the same time, when mercy's being spurned, there's another people receiving mercy. I'm just telling you, friends, we're not here by accident. And things are not happening by accident. Amen. You can rage and vent about all the evils that are in the world and the laws and the things that are happening, but friends, it's not by accident. It's by design. It's the end time. There's no other time that this type of message could happen. Couldn't have come in other ages. Amen. But here we're here in the end time where God is requiring a token. The Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ, that shows us that the wrath has been poured out and has been received. I want you to understand. Let's just visit that again, because when Israel was leaving the bondage of Egypt, remember there was the death angel that was coming, and there had to be a death in every house. Is that right? Amen. Even Israel, they were guilty of wrong. The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. I'm looking at a group of people here that in your past there has been wrongs, serious wrongs, terrible wrongs. Amen. Wrongs that you should burn in hell for. Amen. And let me just tell you, we've all sinned. I gave my heart to the Lord at 5 years old, but I'll say it again. We've all sinned. Amen. I've served Him all my life since a young child. But again, if we got what we deserve, we'd all go to hell. Amen. There's nobody can stand on his own goodness. You might be a young person and say, well, I never did drugs, Brother Tim. I never did this. I never committed adultery. I've never done that. I've never. Listen, you're still guilty. Amen. You're still guilty. Amen. You're still worthy of death. But let me just tell you, friends, in that hour, in that time, even when Israel there was worthy of death, they were Jews, they were slaves, but they were still worthy of death. And God provided a lamb to die in their place. Amen. Hallelujah. There was blood shed in every Israelite home and blood painted on the doorpost. Amen. And a lamb sacrificed for every family. Amen. A token, a sign upon their door. Amen. That there was a death that had already taken place there. That they had received the death of the Lamb. And I'm telling you, friends, we're guilty as anybody else. But there is a difference. We have received a substitute. We have received a Lamb. And that Lamb has died in our place. Amen. And His blood is there upon our lives as a token that the death angel can pass over, because there's already been a death in that home, in that house. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, friends, that's why you must have the token. That's why that you must receive the death and the dying of the Lamb. Amen. That's why that you must have it. You must not just be a make-believer, a pretender. It must be for real. Amen. That you approach this sincerely and with all of your heart. Amen. What is this? You know, again, we see there in every age that God's always had a message. Whether it was the message of Noah, or the message of Enoch, the message of Elijah. You see, there was always an elected people that were coming out, like in the days of Noah. Like in the days of Elijah, there was 7,000 that didn't bow their knees to Baal. Amen. There was John calling out the elected that he gave to Christ when he came and said, I must decrease, he must increase. I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. And again, Jesus came to call out an elected church, to get the elected ready to hear the voice of God. God sent prophetic signs in every age to do that, to get the people ready. Amen. Now, listen, not everybody will hear it. All of Israel wouldn't hear Elijah. All of Israel's heart was not turned. Come on, somebody. All of Israel would not receive the messenger God sent them. But God had an elected that did. Amen. All the world would not hear Noah's message, but God had an elected that did. All the world will not hear Elijah the prophet, but God will have an elect that will. Amen. Because why? He's getting a people ready. Amen. He's pouring out his message of mercy to get a people, an elect, ready for a rapture, to call a people out in the end time. Amen. Now, to spurn mercy, though, it leaves nothing but judgment. And when they turned down Jesus there on the cross 2,000 years ago, and Israel said, let His blood be upon us and our children, it wasn't no days later, hardly until those Jews in the city of Jerusalem, they were surrounded by the Romans and Titus, the Roman general. The Jews ate their own flesh. Blood ran out of the city when they went in there and butchered them. Amen. Judgment had to come because they had made fun of it. They had rejected mercy. Amen. Jesus came. They called Him Beelzebub. He said, I forgive you. But you know, the time will come when the Holy Ghost will come and speak these same things and to speak a word against it. Amen. It will never be forgiven. I'm telling you, friends, you be careful what you say. You be careful about joining in the chorus of those that wants to disagree and ridicule and make fun of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. To speak a word against the Holy Ghost. There will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. Amen. It's judgment to the unbeliever. Amen. Amen. God there in the days of Moses, He put a light. He put a light there to lead the children of Israel across the Red Sea. Same light brought darkness to the Egyptians. Are you with me? Amen. The same light blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. And the same light gave sight and light to the believer. Hallelujah. Amen. The pillar of fire. It's not the right thing to spurn mercy. You're a very privileged person to have heard this message. You're a very blessed person. And I say, after God has done what He's done, how dare us to spurn that mercy? How dare us to just be a bench warmer? A church member. How dare us to sit unmoved? Amen. I say, like the song we say, let worshipers arise. Let sons and daughters sing. It's a time of worshiping the King. Mercy has been given. Grace has been given. It's been an outpouring of mercy. You remember the story we read last Sunday of the man who was given a charge. He was a soldier given a charge of a captive. And then in the heat of battle, I guess he must have got close. He scared and ran with the cannons firing, the shells were going, and he ran. And he didn't keep guard of his responsibility. And yet, a friend went and interceded for him and obtained a pardon from the president. Then he came back with this pardon, and now the soldier who's in prison with the death sentence upon him sees the pardon. He hears the story, but he won't receive the pardon. He refuses the pardon. He said, you know, if it had been from the president, it would have come with a delegation. You're making fun of me. You're mocking me. It doesn't come with enough fanfare for it to have been the president. It doesn't come with enough pomp and everything else to be the president. I wonder today, you know, what the world wants. They want a message that comes with pomp and with great credentials and everything else. And God gave the greatest credentials when He would show His signs and wonders following the word that was preached to show you it was Christ among us. It was His message. And it was a message of pardon. And the man refused his pardon and he was killed. And then it was tried in the courts. And the story comes back. Report comes back. A pardon is not a pardon unless it's received as a pardon. And it doesn't matter how much the Lamb died and how much His Holy Spirit, the blood, is here. It doesn't matter how many signs and wonders and what you know about the message and you've heard about the prophet and you've attended some meetings and you've heard some of the best preaching ever. It doesn't matter. It must be received. And when it's received, there is a release. That man, that prisoner in jail we're talking about, if he had received it, there would have been a release from prison. Amen. And when a man or a woman receives his pardon, we're talking about he's released from sin. There's no more any desire in his heart to walk after the things of the world. He's freely pardoned. He becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus. His affections are set on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Amen. He receives a pardon. Oh, think of this. When he receives a pardon, he's released from sin. Amen. No more desire in his heart to walk after the things of the world. And when you see people still bound and in prison, still held captive, amen, you can see the chains upon them with their worldly dress, with their enslavement to their movies, with their all the other things of bondage. Are you with me now? You just fill in the blank. Amen, there's too much of it to fill in the blank. Describe these shackles that are still on people's lives. And I tell you, they're lying vanities because Jesus paid it all. And you don't have to be a slave anymore. And you don't have to be in bondage anymore. You can walk out of your prison door free. Hallelujah, without a shackle. Amen. I say then, you know, if I were you, I'd receive that pardon this morning. I'd throw down my chains. Chains of my anger, chains of generational curses, chains of whatever it is that has followed my life, habits of the world, I'd shake them off this morning. Amen. I'd walk out of my prison cell, amen, shouting the victory, amen, because he has signed your pardon. Amen. Mercy has been extended to you when you didn't deserve mercy. Mercy. Hallelujah, mercy said, no, I won't let you go. Mercy got a hold of your life. But when you see people still shackled and chained, you realize they're not receiving or accepting the pardon. Let me give you a word of encouragement. As long as there is a Gentile to be saved, there's pardon and mercy to be had. And when this bride is gone, then mercy will be extended to Israel. As long as there's someone redeemable, there is a high priest who is the Lamb of God, amen, that can be touched. This is why the prophet would preach, who is this Melchizedek? Who is this high priest? Who is this one who can be touched with your need? Hallelujah. Who is this one who can expel that darkness? We're living in a time, I can read it from the Bible, but you can read it from Thessalonians chapter 2. Where the Bible tells you that the Spirit of God will lift from the earth. The Holy Ghost will leave the Gentiles. I just say this. When it goes, I want to go with it. You know, look at the evil in this world. Man walks into a church, kills a pastor, 9 others. Insanity. Woman releases, gives tools and aids convicted murderers. Who can wrap their mind around this? You know, you could go on and on and on of men butchering, killing, raping, robbing, molesting, murdering. Who can wrap their minds around this? The millions in the hundreds of millions now of babies, our own babies that we would kill. Like I've always said, you know, we mourned over the 3,000 or whatever it was at 9/11 as a nation. Terrible thing, you know. People on airplane crashed into a building, killing thousands of people. We mourn. We make a big monument. We have a commemoration. We read off all those names. We talk about the 3,000 or 4,000 killed. And we're killing how many million of our own babies? I say, how do you wrap your mind around that? This is so awful, but this isn't. You know, I was shocked here some time ago to get a letter from an email. I didn't even reply to them. I didn't think it deserved a reply. Somebody writing me and saying, well, Brother Tim, we got three children. We can't afford the fourth one. My wife's pregnant again. Would it be all right to abort? And I'm thinking, you're asking me that? And you're a believer in what? What in the world? Where are we at? Spirits so leaving from people that even some who claim to be believers so void of the Spirit they can't tell right from wrong. I mean, so glaring a wrong. Spirit of God lifting. Why? So the man of sin can be revealed. It's lifting from the earth. The Bible said he that will let until he be taken out of the way. He said, you see, the Antichrist cannot come into full power because he said it's something's holding it back. Would you think about that? Something's holding it back. That it might be revealed in his time. Because there will be a time that he'll become full king of the earth. Right now, he's not full king of the earth. He's not my king. So he ain't full king. Amen. He doesn't have me. Does he have you? Amen. Then he isn't full king. Amen. But there's coming a time where God will lift his spirit. And as it lifts, there's a bride going with it. And you don't want to be here with no Holy Spirit. That nothing that can even hold on to the conscience of man. Spirit of God's lifting. After the bride is taken away, Brother Branham said in the first seal, after the bride is taken away, then this man of sin will reveal himself. So when the bride leaves, there's going to be some chaos. Brother Branham would say, he would tell a story in Souls in Prison about a man. He was in Ireland, I think the story was. There's a great reef going alongside the bank on this great hill. It was a man didn't know anything about the countryside, and he was walking along the seashore one day, bluffs up on one side, see here, and he's walking along. There was a very noble man who lived on that hill that knew the tides, knew what time they came in. And apparently they come in very quickly. And this guy walking along the beach, he was one of these know-it-all. He had his own idea. Oh, he was very athletical, you know, he trusted in his own self. He was smart and intelligent. But he just didn't know the time of the tide. Didn't know the country. Didn't know the time that the sign was right when the moon had dropped back from the earth. Brother Branham said, and when God ever drops the spirit from the earth, brother, she's gone. It's all over. the moon would ever move out of its place, the waters would cover the earth like it was when God started in Genesis 1. But the moon sat there. When it even turns its head, the tides start running in. This old wise man who lived there knew what time it was. This other guy didn't know, never studied. He didn't care about it. This wise man said, my good man, don't go any further. Turn back quickly. There's a wall. The bluff's here and you can't get up the wall. You'll perish. The signs are on. The time is near. The tide will gush in all at once. You can't return. Don't go any further. And the man turned around and laughed at him and said, go care for your own business. I can do what I want to do, and I know what I can do and what I can't. And the tides caught him. Now I want you to think of this. Because just as the moon holds back the tide, the bride of Christ, her very presence here on the earth is holding back the plagues. When she leaves, the Spirit of God will depart from the Gentiles. Brother Branham would say this in that same message. Let me tell you something, sister, just a moment. You might be old-fashioned, but you got something that these sex queens hadn't got. You got something she can never have. You might be old-fashioned in your dressing, dress up like a lady. They might say, look at that old holy roller. But don't you worry. She's got something, that little old sex queen that's got all the world looking at her all the, out there. She hasn't got it. And she can never have it. She's lost eternally. She's doomed. You got moral. You got virtue. She's got nothing. She got a bait that traps the lost souls into hell. The blind walks into it. Now you've got something. Now you know you might not even be even on a church book, but it might be your righteous life that's holding the wrath of God from the world today. The world wouldn't believe it. You women that's called holy roller, you little man that don't hardly know anything, but you cry to God day and night for the sins of the country, you might be the one that's holding off the wrath. If I can find 10, I'll spare it. If I can find 10, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. Not if I can find 10 Methodists, find 10 Baptists, find 10 Pentecostals, find 10 athletes, find 10 senators, find 10 ministers. If I can find 10 righteous, and there's one righteous, that's Christ. Christ living in one, them 10, I'll spare it. If I can find Christ in 10, amen. I'll hold off the wrath. Amen. That's even what he said about Sodom. Amen. Are you with me, church? Amen. It could be the very same thing. The very wrath of God is being held off of the earth because of the presence of the bride of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when this bride goes in the rapture, all hell is going to break loose. Hell will literally be created upon the earth as we see it already pressing down upon the world, upon the society that we're living in. That's why you're seeing the insanity. Mercy. Mercy comes in the form of a pardon. Think about this part. You're pardoned the very minute you accept Jesus as your Savior. Pardoned. Amen. You can look over at one another this morning and say, but I've been pardoned. Amen. Mercy has rewritten my life. I've been pardoned. I've been changed in the presence of God. Amen. There's been a token applied. Amen. The death of the Lamb has transpired. Amen. This blood has been applied to my temple, to my house. Amen. Oh, listen, you know, again, there's mercy. There's mercy, pardon. With that pardon, think about this. With that pardon that came for salvation, there also came healing for the body. You believe that? It was all tied together. Brother Branham would say, and I want you to just listen to some of this. He says, our Heavenly Father, we pray that this will be a glorious time. May your angel of healing, of mercy, the presence of the Lord Jesus be in the building so gently. Couldn't we make that our prayer this morning? Amen. May your angel of healing, of mercy, the presence of the Lord Jesus be in the building so gently. He would say again, God, stretch forth His mighty wings across this building for these nights and bathe it with His full dewdrops of glory and mercy and power of healing through Jesus Christ and flow through our mortal bodies here. May there not be one afflicted person left in our midst at the end of the service. And may the dewdrops of mercy and healing powers of God drip upon each soul until faith goes and surpasses all doubts up into the realms beyond this. God, wake us up from this sense-bound dream that we're in. And may we go into this sphere, into this place where all things are possible, and there lay hold on eternal life and on divine healing. And tonight walk out of here victorious in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love those words. Amen. Dewdrops of mercy dripping down upon our souls. Amen. Surpassing us. Causing our faith to rise until it surpasses all doubt and all fears. Amen. Going beyond and around beyond these senses. And he says these senses, this sense-bound dream, it's only a dream that we're in. Amen. That's more real than this. This is a negative reflecting a positive come. Amen. The place where all things are possible. Amen. There lay hold on eternal life, upon divine healing. Amen. That's what we want in a service. Amen. He would say, one of his last sermons that I heard him preach in 1965, may those who are not saved above all things be ready, get ready now, while the doors of mercies are still open. Amen. I'm telling you, as long as the bride is here, there's a high priest, and there's still mercy. Now, when judgment was passed in the garden, if you can bear with me just for a little while longer this morning, I know you got Father's Day get-togethers and celebration, but let's just worship our Father for a little while. When judgment was passed in the garden, when men sinned, remember right in the face of judgment, while it was being pronounced, amen, there was a lamb that was brought. I want to just say it this way, mercy provided a lamb. Right in the face of judgment. And the great love that God had for the human race. Yet He had to see them separated from Him. And the fellowship that He had with His children in the Garden of Eden. In that very heartbroken condition that He had to be in at that time. Because His Word said, that day you eat thereof, that day you die, or you'll be separated from Me. Amen. And when God in that very moment provided a substitute blood. Amen. To provide mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Now then, we can rely on this morning. If God ever did one thing one time, one way, He'll do it that way the next time. Amen. Or because He can't take His word back. Because He's infinite, He's eternal, and His first decision is His all-time decision. So God knew the best way to do it the very first time. And when He went to deal with sin the very first time, amen, and judgment was being passed, God provided a lamb. Amen. And there God, men providing lamb, provided a blood. Something to die in man's place. Oh, hallelujah. Now that tells us something. God cannot take His word back. Amen. If He ever acted one way on one decision, He's got to stay with that decision. Amen. If God ever provided healing to the sick upon faith to believe it, it always remains the same. He cannot take it back. Whatever God does, He got to stay with it. If He said, the blood pays the price, amen, it's forever the same. Amen. mind. There's never no other way. Nothing else can take its place. It was the blood. And the only way that God will receive His children back is by this blood substitute. Amen. No other price can be paid. I'm establishing something here. Amen. It's only under the blood. What is the blood? The Spirit. We know it's not the chemistry of the blood that evaporated and disappeared into the elements thousands of years ago. Nobody's got the blood of God like that. But the blood of God was the life that was in the blood. And that is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So therefore, God's requirement today is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's the only place of fellowship. That's why when we come together, we must come together under the blood. We must get in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Our worship has got to be in the Spirit. Our songs have got to be in the Spirit. Our prayers, if they're going to go anywhere, has to be in the Spirit. Amen. Our preaching has to be anointed. The atmosphere has to be charged. Amen. There has to come a realization we are under the blood. Hallelujah. One place. God made an order back thousands of years ago that they had to go to Jerusalem to worship. Why Jerusalem? Because that's where the blood was offered. That's where the blood was, the lamb was sacrificed. And Brother Branham would say, God will never meet with a man nowhere else but under the blood. When you turn the blood down within your meeting place with God has been taken away. Let's bring it right down. When you turn the Spirit down, the meeting with God is taken away. God made His first decision in the Garden of Eden that man would only worship Him under the shed blood of the sacrifice. And that's the only thing that God would meet man then, and that's the only place God will meet man now. Amen. So that being true, I'll just tell you this morning, he's still the high priest. Amen. In the Old Testament, the priest would offer the lamb so that the worshiper could obtain mercy. In the New Testament, the priest, the high priest, himself became the lamb. And offered His own blood. Hallelujah. We're saved tonight or this morning by the blood of God. Amen. The very blood of God. We're saved by the Spirit. Amen. That's why we should strive and everything. Get in the Spirit. John would say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. It took him right into the day of the Lord. I tell you, you want revelation, you got to get in the Spirit. You want divine healing, you got to get in the Spirit. You want God to come down among you in fellowship, you got to get in the Spirit. Amen. Oh, my, every service ought to be covered with blood. The bleeding word. I'd like to read this to you in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Brother Timothy preached on some of this the other day, but let me just touch on it a minute. Hebrews 9 and 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Eternal redemption has already been attained. Amen. By one offering. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. I tell you, there is a purge to your conscience. There is a purge to your old nature. There is a purge to sin because there is a sacrifice. And through that blood offering, the offering of God's own blood. Hallelujah. Oh my, in the Old Testament, the blood of the Lamb or the life of the Lamb could not come. The nature of the Lamb could not come back upon the worshiper. But how different it is in this covenant. Amen. This is not the blood of a lamb, of an animal. This is the blood of Almighty God. And He has provided a way that the very same Holy Spirit, the same life blood of God that was in Jesus Christ, can come down into every believer. Hallelujah. Make it every believer under the blood. Hallelujah. Filled with the blood of God, the Spirit of God. Thereby be a son or daughter of God. Oh, if we could only realize who we are this morning, then we'd speak to that mountain. Then we'd take our position. We'd just say to that enemy, amen, you got to take your hands off. Amen. Because again, He offered His own blood. Let me say it again. In the Old Testament, the high priest would offer a lamb. But in this Testament, amen, He offered Himself. Amen. The high priest became the lamb. The high priest became the lamb. It was His own blood that was being shed. So that blood could come back upon you. Not the chemistry, but the life of it could come back upon you, the believer. Hallelujah. I'm talking to a people this morning that's born of that blood. You're just not under just a blood covering, but you have been born of the blood of God. Amen. The blood of God flows through that spiritual vein. Down to the heart, the soul of man brings his body under subjection to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So that's the only place that God will meet you. He'll meet you under one condition, and that's under the shed blood. When your sins have been confessed and expelled in His presence. Hallelujah. I'm talking to a people this morning. Your sins have been expelled. Amen. Amen. Expelled by the blood. Amen. Listen here. That blood is always before Him. The only way He can see is through that shed blood. And you're white as snow. Amen. When you've confessed your sin, otherwise you're not there. And then He says, that's the reason you don't see things happening in the churches. Because they're not under the blood. They're confessed, they believe the blood, but they reject the very plan to get the blood, the word. There's only one way that God will honor that word. You'll never honor that word. Come say, I'm a Roman Catholic. I demand this to be done. You can't do it. Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, you can't do it. The only way you can do it is under the mercies of God, through His grace, is to come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I claim the promise. Hallelujah. And listen, if you're really under that blood, God is obligated to His word. I want you to understand, God's not obligated to you. He's not obligated to your good works. He's not obligated because of your church attendance, or you wear your dresses this long, or your hair that long, or you didn't wear makeup, or this or that. God's not obligated to you because of that. God is obligated to His word. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you come under the blood, when you come under the Holy Spirit and ask for anything in His name, God is obligated to His word. Amen. I tell you, God's under obligation this morning. He's not obligated to you or me. He's obligated to His word. Amen. He cannot deny Himself. He remaineth faithful. Even when you don't believe, He still remains faithful. That's why they can't believe in miracles. That's wonder they condemn it. That's the same reason they condemned it back there. They're guilty as guilty could be. God provided. Now listen. Laodicea shows the rejection of Jesus Christ. It shows the rejection of the blood. Show which is a rejection of the Holy Ghost. That is the blood. They will reject it for intellectual theology. And I just want to say it today. Friends, we've even seen a trend around the message where they want to just accept just an intellectual theology. Educate the people into it. And let me just tell you, education will not do it. Amen. You must come under the blood. The Holy Spirit must be prevalent. Listen, church, we in this last day are obligated to a message. Is that right? And this message is the end time revival. But the only way we can have end time revival is for us to come under the blood. Us to strive to enter and to keep in the Spirit. Listen, if I walked out here and offered you a bunch of herbs you'd all sign on, I'm offering you eternal life. I'm telling you the requirement that God requires is the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you it is the cure. It is the cure for the immodesty. Amen. It's the cure. It'll cure you. You won't have to tug your skirt down to make it decent. Amen. It's a cure for your immodesty. Amen. It's a cure there. It's a cure for your desire to look like the world and be like the world. It's a cure for you young men, you know, wanting to hurt yourself and cut yourself, or young women to do the same. It is a cure for all the ills that are in the world. It is a cure. Amen. The Spirit of God. Oh, we've got to strive to stay in the Spirit. Amen. But you know, again, I want to just share something with you, Brother Branham would say. I want you to get this and never let it slip. If we only need the intellectual conception of man, we don't need the Holy Spirit. And if the church is to be run and governed upon intellects, the educational program upon the intellects of mankind, we do not need the Holy Spirit. And if it's to be run by the Holy Spirit, we do not need the intellectuals. Either is either one or the other. Amen. Amen. Now, this would cause Brother Branham to preach sermons like perfect strength by perfect weakness. Because the only way that you're going to be strong is to realize how weak you are. Because when you realize how weak you are, then you realize how dependent on God you are. Are you with me now? Amen. Here again, he would preach perfect strength is by perfect weakness. It's by realizing I need God. I need a Spirit. I need that guidance. I need that leadership. We've got to have it in the church. We've got to have the moving of the Spirit. It's got to be felt. It's got to be demonstrated. Amen. Oh, Brother Branham has said, you talk about the lid off the kettle. Demons going around, powers of the devil under the name of Christianity, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, theological seminary doctrines leaving the Bible alone. He said, who's strong enough? Who's wise enough? Who's powerful enough to tame this legion? Stripping the clothes off of our women in the name of preachers, Methodists, Baptists, even Pentecostals, painting their faces like Jezebel, bobbing their hair and wearing pants just like man. Our preachers, not enough get up about them to tell them about it. Devil possessed. It was a legion that tore his clothes off of him. Who is this roaring devil? And who's strong enough? What kind of denomination is able to conquer him? Walking up and down the tombstones of denominations crying, the days of miracles have passed and we don't need the Holy Ghost. And who can tame that devil? We can't do it by denomination. And we can't do it by ecclesiastical forces. But there was a voice one time that tamed those devils and put them in the right mind. Amen. That same word gave us a promise. That same voice gave us a promise. The works that I do shall you do also. And you'll never do it in ecclesiastical gasoline in a carbon struck car. You'll never do it in an organization. You'll do it when you empty up and become weak and pour out yourself and let the Holy Ghost come in and flood over every part of you and saturate every lid of your body. That's the only way to do it. Amen. He said, what we need, he said, I feel it pouring around through here now. What we need is a prophet of God to rise up with a thunderbolt of God. Spiritual lightning that has shaken this world to shame. Empty vessels is what he needs. A called out church, a little minority that will receive God's power and his blessings and his message. That's what we need. Amen. Get weak so you can get strong. Hallelujah. Get weak so you can get strong. Get weak in your intellect and your know-it-all. And I'm in the message and I've been here. And bless me if you can. Get rid of all of that. Amen. Get in there where you can get strong. Amen. God, let us empty ourselves up. Get empty, friends. Get weak. Deny your own ability. You that hear these tapes, wherever they come, empty yourselves up. Pour yourself out upon God's altar as a sacrifice. And let the angel come with a coal of fire and fill that vessel with the power of Almighty God. And then He'll make you strong and He'll give you grace to stand. Amen. But do you know what happened in the days of Jacob with his sons? He had 12 sons. One of them was Joseph, a spiritual boy. And he had dreams and God revealed Himself. But it come to pass that the brothers thought, we don't need this dreamer. We don't need this one. Remember, they were forsaking their own mercy. Is that right? Amen. God had raised up, put a gift in their life. And they decided, we don't need it. We will get rid. We'll just get rid of the spirit. I wonder around across the land today, if that hadn't been a part of the thing that has driven behind working, that spirit of the enemy that wants to come in. Get rid of the spirit. We don't need him. You know, we got our teachings, we got our intellectual conceptions, we got our beliefs, we got our creeds. You know, creeds is, what a creed means is what I believe. I believe. Creed is again, statement of belief. Amen. So, certainly the right kind of creeds, the Bible ought to be our creed. Amen. That's what we believe, right? But people get an intellectual conception of the Bible. They get an intellectual conception of the message. Amen. And in doing so, these brothers, they thought, we'll never need Joseph. We'll never need this Holy Spirit. You know, it's a bunch of holy rollers. They sold him out to Egypt. You know, those jealous brothers that got down there, in that day, sold him out, excommunicated him. Amen. Send him down to Egypt. We don't need this. And he said, today, in other words, the same thing happens. You know, in the churches have become intellectual. We got the best dressed crowds, the biggest organization, the most smartest ministers. We have no use of the Holy Spirit in the way it was back there. They are full. In other words, their actions speak louder than the words. They're seminaries in their brain of their being. They're coming together, discussing the things. They're more able with their own intellectual mind to set a church in order better than the Holy Spirit can do it. Something we don't need today. We don't need it any longer. The days of it's past. We don't need the Holy Spirit to heal the sick. We got doctors. We don't need the Holy Spirit to speak with tongues. We're all intelligent people. And when you do, you take right from your framework the lifeline. Amen. It becomes a rejected stone. Said, see what you mean? I'm sure you can catch it. That's the reason of it now. Because they thought they would never need it. We don't need speakers with tongues. We don't need interpreters of tongues. We no longer need the Old Testament prophets set us in order by the Holy Spirit. We understand it. They've adopted a man-made system to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there is a people that's elected that has their names on the Lamb's Book of Life. They can't go for that. Amen. They're spiritual minded. And therefore, they can't go for that. They can't stand it, no matter if their fathers and mothers was lived in what organizational church. Amen. Well, maybe the church, he said, wouldn't speak that right out. Oh, no, they won't speak it out. But their actions prove it. Here's the word. And the Holy Spirit proves it among them. And when they gather together, he still heals the sick. And he still raises the dead. He still speaks with tongues and casts out devils. So you see, they got to the place they thought they wouldn't need that. I say, church, let us never get to the place we think we don't need the Holy Spirit. That we don't need the power of God. That we don't need the atmosphere where the people can be birthed into the kingdom of God. I say, let us never be overcome by this intellectual age that we're living in, that we put Jesus out of the church. Let's be a people that strives with everything that we have to have the Holy Spirit moving in the church. Amen. Where there can be the real, genuine Holy Ghost come down and change lives of men and women. Where there can be an atmosphere among us. Where the joy of the Lord can be in the camp. Hallelujah. Amen. Where the blood is applied to every situation. Come on. Amen. You apply the blood to your marriage situation. I'll tell you, things will change. You put the Holy Ghost over on any situation, I'll tell you, it'll change. Amen. You make Christ the preeminence in your home. I'll tell you, the dynamics of your home is going to change. Things will happen when the Holy Ghost comes. And I'll tell you, things can happen in a church when the Holy Ghost comes. Amen. But we cannot come like a family tradition. We cannot come and just say, oh, well, it's Sunday. We'll go offer a lamb. We'll go through the forms of worship. It's more than that. It's got to be more than that. It's where you lay your hands on your sacrifice and you feel the dying of that lamb. And you know he took your place. And you feel his very nature come down on the inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. And you rise up a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what it's got to be. Amen. Well, you say, Brother Tim, I've accepted it. And you still live like the world? No, sir. Amen. You have not accepted it. Amen. There is no evidence. The evidence is not there that life is upon you. Amen. No way you can say, well, you know, well, it's your way, Brother Tim, and the message way, but it's not my way. Well, I tell you, your way is one way. God's way is another. Amen. It's time to leave your ways. It's time to leave your thinking. It's time to realize your intellects will never get you anywhere. It ain't what you think. It's what you need. And what you need is that Holy Spirit to pour down upon you. Amen. Even what we need, I don't care how long you've been in the message, is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in your own life and a renewing of the Spirit of God. Amen. Till the blood flows down upon you and the blood begins to speak. And the blood begins to be on display. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Then we'll see worshipers purged in their conscience. Then we'll see sainted men and women who are not ashamed of their testimony. They're not ashamed to say amen. Amen. They're not ashamed to sing the songs of Zion. Amen. They're not ashamed to testify of what God has done. Amen. That they're there. Oh my, they're moving in the Spirit. Amen. The clapping of their hands. Amen. And rejoicing of truth in the dance of victory. Come on. We know the devil copied that with rock and roll, but there's a real genuine dance that comes from God. Amen. Oh, when David slew Goliath, brother, came back dragging his big old head along behind him. I tell you, all Israel began to rejoice. Amen. There was a shouting because there was a victory over the enemy. When the word was returned, when the ark was returned, there was rejoicing in the camp. Well, we ought to be some of the most happiest people that there is, because the word has returned. Amen. You see Goliath killed in this age. That we're up saying days of miracles are past and there's no such thing as divine healing. We've seen that Goliath's head cut off. Amen. We've seen victory in this day and hour. We're a people of overcoming power and overcoming victory. Oh, how there ought to be some rejoicing in the camp. Amen. Rejoicing. Amen. Saying amen. Our God is mighty God. Amen. Our God is the Savior. Our God is here presently. He is here for healing. He is here for deliverance. He is here in His power. He is here in His glory. He is here for rapture. He is here to change us. He is here to fill us. He is here to fill us. He's here to enthuse us. He's here present among us. Hallelujah. I'm called by a living God. I'm called by a present day God. I'm called by a God who has given pardon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Brother Branham said he was in a meeting like that one time. Amen. He said, I realized what was the problem because I was sitting over in the seat of the scornful. And he said, I realized the problem was that I didn't have enough victory. Amen. But when you finally get the victory and the token of the blood comes upon you, oh, hallelujah, it gives you something to rejoice about. Amen. It gives you something. Amen. Remember, Pentecost was our pattern. Anytime you get away from the day of Pentecost, you get away from truth. It's our pattern. It was inaugurated. The church was on the day of Pentecost. The same Spirit that fell upon them in that day, and all without fail, when the Holy Ghost came upon the people, they acted the same way. Amen. So while the Holy Ghost isn't a sensation, I agree, but it is sensational. Hallelujah. You can't have divine, the divine power, the divine deity of Almighty God coming to you and it not be sensational. Hallelujah. You know it happened. Amen. You know something took place. You passed from death unto life. But I wonder sometimes if people don't sit in their blindness and pretend like nothing's going on. You know, they're sitting here in Laodicea in their lukewarm condition. And the Holy Spirit trying to pour Himself out upon us. Amen. People walk away from the meetings, the camp meetings that we just had and say, where is divine healing? It was there. Little children with bad hearts healed. Amen. Little children who couldn't crawl or walk, walking and crawling today. Amen. Little children. Amen. People with needs in their lives delivered. Amen. Families are healed. The love of God moving through the place. I tell you, church, we ought to be praising God and expecting more. We ought to be creating an atmosphere that every meeting is a family camp. Where that we're seeing the Spirit of God come down in our midst. Where that nothing's impossible to those that believe. Hallelujah. I tell you, because this is not a one-day revival. This is not a one-week revival. This is the bride's revival. Amen. Ever since I received this word, I've been in revival. Amen. Every night I'm in revival. Every day I get up, I'm in revival. It's not a one-day event. It's not a one-meeting event. Amen. It's a lifetime event. Amen. I rise up with overcoming power. Amen. I'm talking to a people this morning that's got overcoming power within them. Oh, hallelujah. A people who knows the power of God. Amen. Because His token, His life is on display. Amen. What it takes is a surrendered heart to the power of God. To the Almighty God by His will, and the Holy Spirit will come. Amen. Amen. As a sign, as a token on that person. Amen. Oh, how wonderful this is. Amen. Don't let it become a family tradition. Just a church joining. Time that we come together on Sunday and Wednesday. Let's realize, friends, we're here in the last days. Amen. Let's look and let's see that every person comes under that token. Every person comes under that Holy Ghost. So we're identified with our sacrifice. Amen. That His presence is here among us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh my. Think about it. That's what it requires. We have been pardoned. We have been cleansed from sin. I tell you what, friends, when we realize God's got a recipe for the end time revival, that recipe is a message God sent in this day, accompanied with signs and wonders, accompanied with the Holy Spirit. We must strive to stay in that Spirit or else we forsake the mercy that's given. Amen. What about it today when He's not welcome in many churches? What about it when they don't want any of that? When they would deny, we don't need the Holy Spirit. We don't want Him anymore. Why? You know, we've ordered God right out. We don't want to do that. Amen. We want to recognize who's here among us. He's a present God. And He's here in our midst today. Let's stand together. So we worship the Lord together this morning. Can some worshipers arise? Can sons and daughters of God sing? Can somebody offer a tribute to God this morning? Can somebody say, I don't want to forsake my mercy. I don't want to forsake it. I want to receive that mercy. Amen. I want mercy just to come rewrite my life. I've been floundering along, but I need a change. I need a change. Amen. While the Holy Spirit is dealing with your hearts, dealing with lives today, speaking to souls, let Him change you in His presence. Amen. Why don't you invite Him to come? Say, come Holy Spirit, I need you. Play that song, come Holy Spirit, I need you. Come in Thine own special way. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. You invite Him to come to your pew today, right where you're sitting. Just come, Holy Spirit. Could you just tell Him, Lord, I really need You. Talking to the Lord just a moment. Would there be someone just say, Lord, come by my way today. I need You. I need You. Would there be young people, old, that says, I need that Holy Spirit. I need a refreshing of the Holy Ghost. I need that enthusiasm, that thrill back. The joy of the Lord. Might be a backslider here today that's wandered away from God. Might be somebody that's in sin. Amen. You realize that mercy is being poured out right now. Mercy. Mercy. Amen. Why would He move on me to preach this kind of a sermon? Why would He call upon my heart? Why would He even pull me from a series of services to stop and just minister on this right now? Why is it? Why is it you're here this morning? Why is it that the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart and mercy right now? Wanting to change your life. And you know you need it. 5 years from today, I don't know where you might be because of your decision that you make, turning down the mercy of God. You say, well, I can be just as good as anybody else. Those of you that have the Holy Spirit, I can live just as good life as anybody else. You can't. Five years from now, you may be that man pulling the trigger so out of your mind, so pulled into sin, unbelief. 5 years from today, you could be a drunk on the street, a prostitute. 5 years from today, 2 years from today, amen, based on the decision you make right now, receiving or spurning that mercy. 5 years from today, you could be a renowned Christian. 5 years from today, you could have a testimony around the world of a living God living in your life. 5 years from today, they're talking about 5 years, automated cars. 5 years, we're going to see great changes. What about your change in your own life? Even we as a church, 5 years from today, what are we going to be in 5 years? What are we going to be down the road? Amen. 5 years from today, we could be at glory, in glory, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm just saying 5 years. Maybe less than that. 5 years from today, Satan may be king of the earth, full king. The wrath of God being poured out on his kingdom. Not another Gentile saved. There won't be no lamb for you then. He that is holy, be holy still. He that's filthy, be filthy still. There won't be no intercession. Won't be no need to pray. There won't be no need to call out for mercy. There will be none to have. Salvation is of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Would there just be somebody today that sincerely just want to make a move toward God? Just raise a hand toward God and say, Lord, I realize I need you. I realize I've got to have you. I realize things have got to change. I realize I'm in your presence. I realize mercy is being offered. A pardon is being given. I want to receive that pardon today. Amen. He'll forgive you. He'll take away every sin. He'll make it though you never did it in the first place. You'll take your name out of that book of life and put it in the Lamb's book of life, or reveal it there. It's already there. But he'll show you, you always were mine. Amen. Just invite him to have his way now with you. Invite him. How many could say, I just want a fresh application of the blood life of Christ. The Holy Spirit just to bathe me down today in his presence. Bring a renewing of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Father, you see these many hands that have went up. You've seen the heart's desire, Lord. You see, Lord, what they're crying out in their soul. I just pray, Lord, as the deep calls to the deep, there be a deep response to them. They couldn't ask for it if it wasn't for them. They couldn't desire it if you didn't have it for them. And you made a blessed promise that those that hungered and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. And I pray, Lord, this little start may be as weak, small as it looks or seems. Just a feeble moving of the hand will be that first action, that first wave, that first move of a move back towards you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Come and fall afresh on me.
Oh, yes.
Fill my cup again.
Fill my cup again.
Heal my heart.
My heart.
And make me whole. I need you. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out on me. Fall just like the rain. Saturate my thirsty soul. Come and fall afresh on me. Fill my cup again. Heal my heart and make me whole. I need you now for your spirit. Oh Lord, I see. Find my dry and broken places, thirsty for your love. Lord, forgive me if I wander. Cup again, heal my heart and make me whole. Oh, I need you now for your spirit, Lord. I seek you, Lord. I seek you. Help me find. How I need your touch. Find my dry and broken places. Oh, your love. Lord, forgive me if I wander. I
Once again, Spirit of God move. Oh. give you my heart. I give you my soul.
I live, Lord.
I live for you alone.
My home.